If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. Despite a recent string of positive economic news, the White House is keeping a tempered outlook.
The indicators that you mentioned demonstrate that the recovery is continuing. But we have much more work to do.
Spokesman Jay Carney noted today that while housing, stocks, and consumer confidence are all on the rise, the unemployment rate remains too high. President Obama will nominate one of his longtime economic policy experts, Jason Furman, to serve as the next chairman of the White House Council of Economic Advisors. Furman would succeed Alan Krueger, who is planning a return to Princeton University. And an investigation of Liberty Reserve, a global online payment and money transfer system, has led to the arrests of five individuals who face money laundering charges. The Department of Justice, which announced the probe, called Liberty Reserve a $6 billion financial hub for cyber criminals and Ponzi schemers. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
There. Welcome aboard. This is Radio Free America on the ConservativeNationRadio.org radio network. Duke Brooks here. Thanks a lot for being along. This is the last May edition of Radio Free America in the month of 2013, since Friday is the last day of May, and I have no plans to be on the air between now and then. So somebody get out the record books. This is likely to be a good one. 718-305-7176 is the number. The chat room is open for business. Everything is open for business. Now, right away, I want to start by saying I had no idea that John Sigler was going to resign from his position as the chairman of the Delaware State Republican Party. I didn't know. I had no idea. I was shocked this morning when Steve Grossman called me and told me about this. Now, if you are one of the myriad people listening now in places like Alaska, San Ysidro, California, Boise, Idaho, Kalispell, Montana, any of the Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, I always love that. I always love that. Hey, listen, I grew up in a town called King of Prussia. Okay, and pretty interesting. Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. All right. Anyway, you might be thinking, well, what on earth does this have to do with anything? I don't live in Delaware. Although Christopher Manti lives in Delaware, and Christopher Manti, of course, has a program on this network on Fridays, which, strangely enough, you would never guess this in a million years, is called the Christopher Manti Show. In any event, you might be wondering why this would even matter. Well, you know, the Republican Party right now has a couple of challenges in front of it. I mean, there's absolutely no question. However, in my view, they are good challenges. And I say this as the spokesman for the Sussex County Delaware Republican Committee. And so I can speak for our committee. I think really what is happening, and since we last spoke last week, there have been a couple of interesting developments on the triple scandal front, which is what we're seeing right now. I mean, you know, Watergate, look, I remember Watergate. I remember 40 years ago, the summer of 1973, it started. The Watergate hearings were underway. Does anybody remember Senator Sam? Anybody remember Senator Sam Ervin, the senior Democrat, the senior senator from North Carolina? Does anybody remember him? I remember him. And I got to tell you, I didn't care for the fact that President Nixon was in as much trouble as he was. But looking back on it now, the fact of the matter is he had no one to blame but himself. No one thinks that he planned the break-in at the Watergate office building, which is where the Democrat National Committee had their headquarters. It could be that they still have their headquarters there. I have no idea. But I remember Senator Sam, Fred Thompson was a counsel to one of the Republican senators. That was, I think it might have been Howard Baker that was on the committee, the senatorial committee investigating Watergate. And it was all summer long. You know, that was, for me, was the summer between high school and college. And it was pretty much 4 or 5 days a week, nothing but Watergate, on the three channels that you could tune to back then. That was it. There were three channels. It was not the 800-channel universe in which we live today. Maybe that was a good thing. I don't know. Well, actually, no, it was not a good thing. Because all three of the networks back then, as now, were run and populated by people who no doubt wake up every morning with a visceral, uncontrollable hatred for the Republican Party and, to some extent, even for the United States. Does anybody know, and listen, I don't know anything about this, but if you know what I'm talking about here, a show called The Voice, I want you to give me a call at 718-305-7176, because I don't watch those kinds of light entertainment shows that are focused on developing people to provide more light entertainment. You know, I don't get it. I guess I'm happy, but I understand it's on NBC. And there's this guy who I guess is a judge or a something on the show. His name is Adam Levine, and Adam Levine Monday night on the show, and this was all the talk of Twitter and Facebook and everything today, Adam Levine on Monday night was overheard. He had a hot mic and he was overheard saying, "I hate this country. I don't get it. If NBC allows him to remain on the air, how many things that conservatives like us know about NBC, and it's just absolutely incredible and obvious, palpable, patent editorial bias, will be confirmed." I mean, NBC, you know, the owners of MSNBC, they, of course, in turn are owned by Comcast. And I guess I just don't know why Comcast has not decided to go in there and clean house. When General Electric owned NBC for the second time, maybe it was the third time, I don't know. I don't know why Jack Welch did not go into 30 Rock and tell the president of NBC, "You're cleaning house. These liberals that you have here running things, they're gone. And at the very worst, you're going to be neutral, and at the very best, you're going to have a slight right-wing tilt to what you do." But he didn't do that. I don't know why. I guess Jack Welch just, you know, it's not a question of he didn't have the backbone to do it. I suppose he just probably thought that running General Electric had more complicated and more important things to do at the time than get those leftists out of the NBC television network. Who knows? Who knows? 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America, and we are now into about week number three of the triple scandal events that are characterizing the Obama White House. There are a couple of factors that I think people need to be aware of. while they are watching these things. And as far as I know, the only network that is covering them is Fox. Actually, MSNBC and CNN are also covering them. I'm just being handed a note. Just a moment, ladies and gentlemen. He went to grad school at UMass School of Business, Leftist Business Views. This note was just handed to me by my assistant and co-executive producer of this program, my girlfriend with whom I live, Linda Creasy. And Linda would know that Jack Welch went to the University of Massachusetts School of Business because Linda studied chemical engineering at the University of Massachusetts, which is the hardest academic major that there is. It's harder than pre-med. It's harder than mechanical or electrical. It's harder than underwater basket weaving. It's harder than everything. So, at a school like UMass Amherst, the business academic business department is going to be populated with left wingers. I mean, I was once a professor. I was once an adjunct instructor at an institution on the eastern shore of Maryland called Salisbury University, which is part of the University of Maryland system. And my office was, I taught a course called Introduction to Mass Media. You may be scratching your head right now asking why anyone would allow me to teach a course, but I digress. And my department's offices were on the same floor as the sociology or political science department, and all the professors in that department had all kinds of left-wing newspaper articles and bumper stickers and stuff like that on their doors. And, that is what happens at universities. There is just, I'm not really sure how we could do anything about it. I don't know. I mean, something would have to happen in order to get those left-wing professors out of there. Maybe the federal government should not be subsidizing colleges, lending money to students, or doing anything like that. That's what I think, anyway. It is about 12 and a half minutes now after the hour. Listen, I want you to make a note on your calendar to listen up to former U.S. Navy SEAL Carl Higbee on The Sound of Freedom with Hig and Resch. It's Thursdays, which is tomorrow, at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. You have probably seen Carl on Fox and Friends if you watch Fox and Friends regularly. I do. I see it, at least part of it, almost every morning. Carl is the well-known author of the book Battle on the Home Front, and he is also an outspoken critic of the Obama administration. Yay! Liberals can't stand him because, like all conservatives, Carl is right, and that alone means that he fits right in here. So listen to Sound of Freedom with Carl Higbee and former Navy JAG attorney Guy Reschenthaler, who is now a magistrate judge in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central, on conservativenationradio.org, conservative radio done right. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America. Just to recap, we have kind of three and a half scandals that are surrounding the White House right now. Number one is the unexplainable eight-hour absence of President Obama on the evening of September 11th of last year while the attack was going on at our consulate in Benghazi. Apparently, now White House phone records have disclosed that the president, during the attack, did not call the Secretary of Defense. He did not call the Vice President. He called only the Secretary of State. He didn't call the National Security Advisor. He only called Hillary Clinton. And he called her while two of the four Americans that were murdered by the Mohammedan terrorists in Benghazi, Libya, were still alive, apparently, well, we can only speculate what he and Hillary Rodham Clinton discussed. But the big question is, there are a couple of questions surrounding the Benghazi scandal. Number one, where was the president during an eight-hour period that no one can explain where he was? I'd kind of like to know where the president of the United States is, when and whether he is paying attention when there is an attack that is going on against our diplomatic outpost in a country like Libya. I'd kind of like to know. I mean, you know, I think that that's reasonable, don't you? The other question is, who told UN Ambassador from the U.S., Susan Rice, to go on the five Sunday talk shows on which she appeared 4 days later with this ridiculous, absurd, and utterly unbelievable, bold-faced lie that there was an anti-Mohammedan video on the internet, and that was the cause of what she and no doubt her boss, Hillary Clinton, first described as a spontaneous demonstration. And the third question is, who gave orders to our military forces in the Mediterranean and the Middle East that they were to stand down? That's what we need to know about the Benghazi scandal. Those are the key questions. Now, it's about 16 and a half minutes after the hour. Going to take a short break here. More of your calls are coming up, and a discussion of the other two and a half scandals that are now swirling around the White House, so stay right where you are.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
You must be your fairy godmother.
In the classic fairy tale, Cinderella's dream comes true because the glass slipper fits.
It fits.
In our world, the right fit can be just as important.
Good heavens, child. You can't go in there.
Especially when it comes to car seats. Always choose a car seat that's the right fit for your child's age and size.
Oh, that does make a difference.
To make sure your little pumpkin gets there safely every time.
Happy to see you. Thank you.
Remember, you're responsible for protecting your children. Their happily ever afters are in your hands. For even more information about choosing the right car seat, visit safercar.gov/the right seat. This message has been brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared.
Prevent your child's next asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. Visit www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many. Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back. About 8 minutes after the hour. This, of course, the inimitable Electric Light Orchestra and Above the Clouds. I'm a huge ELO fan. If you don't know that by now, I just thought I would mention it. 718-305-7176 is the number. We've been talking, you and I, a little bit about the three and a half scandals that are now surrounding the White House. The first one, Benghazi. The questions are, where was the president during the attack, and why did he not contact the Secretary of Defense, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, etc.? The next question is, who told Susan Rice to go on those talk shows, those Sunday shows, a few days later with the lie that it was a spontaneous demonstration? And the third question is, since U.S. forces that were within reach of Benghazi on the eastern edge of the Gulf of Sidra in the southern Mediterranean were within reach of that location. Who gave them orders to stand down? Those are the three key questions about the Benghazi scandal. The second scandal is the Associated Press. If you have not been paying direct attention to these things, and I can kind of understand how a person, you know, there's so much nonsense that comes out of Washington. There are so many talking heads and people out there, and there's so much spin coming from the networks, and the newspapers try to circle their wagons to defend Obama. They, I think, are now realizing that they can't. Here is what happened with the Associated Press. The Department of Justice, now, I said this last week and I think also the week before, as far as I'm concerned, they lawfully but improperly subpoenaed the telephone records of about 20 reporters for the Associated Press for a period of almost a month. They wanted to find out the source of a leak that had to do with the fact that our guys were able to find out about, break up, and stop before it happened a planned bombing by Al-Qaeda of a U.S. airliner, which presumably would have been over the Atlantic or the Pacific or maybe over our country or something. Who knows? Now, this is the reason they did that. Apparently, and I would hope so, and I'd like your thoughts on this. I really would. At 718-305-7176, apparently we have an agent or maybe a double agent inside Al-Qaeda in Yemen, and I think that is the Mohammedan terrorist group that was planning this attack, and someone leaked to a reporter from the Associated Press that this was happening and that our guys were aware of it, and our guys had broken it up. A total of five, before it happened, a total of five reporters from the AP worked on this story. They suspected that John Brennan, who at the time was Obama's counterterrorism advisor, and just parenthetically as an aside, I think putting John Brennan in charge of counterterrorism is like, I don't know. I guess it's like putting Michelle Bachmann in charge of the Liberal Democrat caucus in the U.S. House of Representatives. It just doesn't work, okay? But I digress. So apparently they had suspected that Brennan might have been the source of the leak. There were five AP reporters that worked on the story. The Justice Department subpoenaed the phone records of about 20 AP reporters for almost a month, a month-long period of time, to see who they called. Now, that having been said, I have no problem with the fact that Department of Homeland Security or Department of Defense or the FBI or whoever it was wanted to find out what the source of that leak was. I have no problem with that at all. And if a reporter is involved in something like that, then as far as I'm concerned, the exigencies of the needs for national security, in my view, outweigh by some or maybe a whole lot the freedom of the press guaranteed by the First Amendment. Just because somebody is a reporter doesn't mean that they can't be a traitor at the same time. We have more than enough evidence that quite a few reporters have been traitors over time. I digress. In any event, what the Justice Department did wrong and what they did improperly is under the law that enabled them to subpoena the phone records, they were required to give notice after a certain amount of time to the people, the reporters, whose phone records they had subpoenaed. They can't just go in and do it and keep it secret. That's what they did. That is a problem. U.S. government has to play by the rules. They have to play by the rules. There is absolutely no way around it. They must play by the rules. If the U.S. government doesn't play by the rules, why the heck should any U.S. citizens play by the rules? That's a rhetorical question I ask you. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America. Now, there is a subsequent scandal that is taking place, which is very, very closely related to the Associated Press reporters' phone subpoena scandal, and that is that the chief Washington correspondent for the Fox News Channel is a guy named James Rosen. James Rosen was working on a story concerning the construction and possession by North Korea of nuclear weapons. That, of course, obviously, is a completely legitimate news story. I mean, heck, if that isn't tied to national defense, frankly, I don't know what is. And the FBI wanted to find out who was giving information to James Rosen. In order to do that, an FBI agent named James Rosen, the chief Washington correspondent of the Fox News Channel, as a co-conspirator in the intelligence gathering operation that they were trying to perform to try to find out who was leaking information about the North Korean nuclear program. And they went ahead and they got subpoenas for his phone, his cell phone, his home phone, his Fox work phone, and his parents' house on Staten Island. They, again, did not notify James Rosen that that's what they were doing. So that is improper in and of itself. But beyond that, when the news of that scandal came out, the U.S. Senate questioned the Attorney General and asked him if he thought that using subpoena power to access the phone records of reporters was a good idea, or if he had ever had anything to do with anything like that. Under oath, he said it was not a wise thing to do, and he had never done anything like that. Eric Holder's problem is that there is now a document bearing his signature authorizing his people at the Department of Justice to get a hold of the phone records of James Rosen. That's the problem. The Attorney General lied under oath. He's not going to be able to keep his job. Now, I can tell you very definitely that at some point, and apparently the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee has called for his resignation. Let's see, he's going to be giving a press conference at some point. Not sure exactly when. Reuters is reporting through the Drudge Report that two Republican lawmakers asked the Attorney General on Wednesday to clarify testimony he gave Congress this month about his role in the targeting of journalists in a leak probe. House Judiciary Committee Chairman Bob Goodlatte of Virginia and colleague James Sensenbrenner of Wisconsin sent a letter to Holder saying recent media reports, quote, appear to be at odds with your sworn testimony, unquote. At the May 15th hearing, Holder said he had never been involved in any decision to pursue a criminal investigation of a journalist and said it would not be a, quote, wise policy, unquote, to do so. Last week, news outlets reported that Holder had approved the decision to seek a search warrant for Fox News email records as part of a leak investigation. Reuters later reported Holder signed off on a subpoena for telephone records as well. Well, there you have it. He lied under oath. He's in trouble. There's absolutely no question about it. But I can guarantee you a couple of things. Number one, if it gets to the point that he either, you know, resigns or perhaps is asked to resign by the president, there are going to be a lot of left-wing news sites and reporters, editors, et cetera, in this country that are going to be screaming that he has not done anything wrong. Some of them are likely to play the race card, but if the president fires him, I'm not really sure how they can do that. Of course, it doesn't really matter to them. They're going to play the race card no matter what. As Greg Gutfeld once famously mentioned, how much is 1 plus 1 equals 2? And the answer is, you're a racist. You know, I mean, that's the way they do things at the national level. Unbelievable. About 28 and a half minutes now before the top of the hour, I'm going to assume for the sake of argument that since you're listening to conservativenationradio.org, you're probably a conservative, which means that you love America and our Constitution just as we do. Now, since that's the case, you're going to need a supply depot where you can get everything from books, bumper stickers, patriotic T-shirts, and flags. I mean, July 4th is right around the corner, isn't it? And your pipeline to that good stuff is right here at conservativenationradio.org. Just go to our website, which is the aforementioned conservativenationradio.org, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative revolution needs. Wave your flag and proudly display your love for America and the conservative revolution starting right now. Just go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution. Real conservatism for real conservatives. 27 minutes until the top of the hour. Going to take a break. Your calls are coming up, so don't go away.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan.
So, do you like it?
Goatsfortheoldgoat.com. Why the word you say?
This is Dave from the Dave Matthews Band for Rad. When you go out and party, get drunk, then drive, you're not only loaded, you're a loaded weapon. When you celebrate, designate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives and so should you.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it. You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. This is Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. Duke Brooks is my name, 718-305-7176 is my phone number. Chat room is open and ready for business. I see a couple of folks in there. You're free and complete liberty to call, sir or ma'am. We have been talking about the triple scandals surrounding the White House at this time. There is no truth to the rumor that people like me are sitting around you know, rubbing our hands and giggling and laughing and all that kind of stuff. Well, look, all right, there is quite a bit of truth to that rumor. I've got to be honest with you. I can't stand these liberals in Washington and the ones in the media. I don't like them either. I think that they're trying to hurt our country. The president, I do not believe, is a patriot. I don't believe he loves this country. I just don't believe it. And I say that not because of what he has said, but because of his actions. In any event, we talked a little bit about the Benghazi scandal and the three questions surrounding that. I wonder if we're ever going to get answers to them. We talked a little bit about the Justice Department and Associated Press phone subpoena scandal and the James Rosen phone and email subpoena scandal. The third scandal, obviously, is the IRS scandal. And apparently, based on some polls, most Americans think that this is the most serious of the three. I would have to, well, I'm in partial agreement with that. I think that, you know, at the end of the day, the only way that you are going to prevent the IRS from abusing Americans for any reason or for no reason is to not have an IRS. We can execute something called the fair tax, which is a tax on consumption, not on income. You're not taxed on the money you earn. You're taxed on the money you spend. That is what makes sense. To tax a thing is to discourage a thing. If you put a tax on incomes, you are discouraging the earning of incomes. If you put a tax on the purchase of gasoline, you are discouraging the purchase of gasoline. If you put a tax on the purchase of tires, you're going to reduce. You remember when George H.W. Bush, 41, was president, he allowed those liberals in the Congress to basically enact a tax that was a 10% tax on the purchase of luxury yachts. Well, what happened as a result of that? Almost every luxury yacht maker in the United States went out of business. That's what happens when you single out a particular purchase. The message you send is, we, the government, in our infinite wisdom, do not want people to buy your product, Mr. Luxury Yacht Manufacturer. Thousands upon thousands of people in Florida, South Carolina, North Carolina, New Jersey, New York, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Maine, California, I think Alabama and Texas, lost their jobs. They lost their jobs because the companies that they worked for went out of business, and the companies they worked for went out of business because some ridiculous Marxist-spouting, Little Red Book-carrying socialist communist in the U.S. Congress decided it would be a good idea to fleece those rich SOBs. We're going to get them for you. We're going to get even with them. And what they did is they put thousands of the little guy out of work. That's how it works. That's why, you, number one, you cannot use taxation as a means to discourage or encourage a particular type of economic activity, nor to punish those who have somehow 99 times out of 100 by extremely hard work and diligence have gotten themselves into a position to have a high income, a lot of assets, and a high net worth. You just can't do it. It is called killing the goose that laid the golden egg. Now, The IRS scandal, as we all know by now, involves the fact that Tea Party and Republican organizations, and apparently now Christian organizations, an organization out of Texas called True the Vote, which is based on strictly on election integrity, was denied their 501c3 tax-exempt status. There were some Tea Party organizations and other organizations that applied for 501c3, which is tax-exempt political organization status. They were denied it. There were Democrat organizations such as the Barack Hussein Obama Foundation, which is run by the president's half-brother, which is some dude from Kenya who lives in Boston. They got their tax-exempt status within 30 days. It is now clear that the former commissioner of the IRS, Doug Shulman, another guy named Miller or something, both of those guys lied to the U.S. Congress when they were questioned about it. Lois Lerner tried to take the Fifth Amendment. She tried to plead the Fifth. She did plead the Fifth. The three of them, actually, I guess there were four of them at the table that day, including the Inspector General of the IRS, who was this dude, I think his last name is Wood, by all accounts, seems to be a very, very straight-up guy, and probably the kind of bureaucrat that you actually want to have. He seems like he's an honest and decent guy, plays it by the book, follows the rules, all that kind of thing. The four of them got up and walked out, essentially, of the U.S. Congress, but Lois Lerner made a serious mistake. Lois Lerner, at the beginning of her statement, said, "I have not broken any rules, I have not broken the law, I have not done anything wrong." She then proceeded to take the Fifth. As I mentioned last week, the Fifth Amendment has been viewed by American courts for quite a long time as being an all-or-nothing proposition. If you make statements or answer questions other than giving your name and address and your age, I guess, you have to answer the questions that you are asked. If you only give your, you know, name, rank, and serial number, apparently, and after that, that's all the information you give, and you don't answer any questions other than say, I am asserting my rights under the Fifth, then that's it. You don't have to answer. Well, Lois Lerner was suspended from her position at the IRS, apparently 48 hours later, but she was suspended with pay. From what I understand, Lois Lerner is someone who has never had an employer in her entire life except for the United States government. You know, I got to be honest with you, there are simply way too many people like that in the U.S. government already. Now then, it is about 16 and a half minutes before the top of the hour. You know, people are listening to conservativenationradio.org in droves. I mean, we're very happy. We're very thankful. Our listenership is strong. It's getting stronger all the time. You want to listen to our Saturday show. We've got a guy on the air. His name is Robert Garding. He's a great guy. He's a good buddy of mine. And he is he's with us now. He has had his own show on the Internet. He's done it several hundred times, and he's now with us. So we are capturing the heavyweights is what we're doing. His program, which is called the New Wise Conservatism Show, now is on Conservative Nation Radio every Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 o'clock Central. He has been hosting this show for years on the Internet, New Wise Conservatism, and he's got a big following, so you need to listen this Saturday, and you're going to find out why. Thousands of people love his brand of New Wise Conservatism, and you will too. The New Wise Conservatism Show with Robert Garding, Saturdays at 4 o'clock Eastern, 3 p.m. Central on conservativenationradio.org, conservativeradio.right. It's about quarter of the hour. Duke Brooks here. Thank you very much for being along this evening. We have been talking about the triple scandals surrounding the White House. Our chat room is open and ready for business, by the way. So, hello, Cat Girl. I'm not sure who Cat Girl is, but I'm glad that she has joined us in the chat room. You want to check out the chat room. We're going to take a little break right now. More of your calls are coming up. All that is straight ahead, so don't go away.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it. I'm concerned she's lost too much blood.
Oh, no.
You in the corner, who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
She's my girlfriend, Doctor.
You need to wait out in the waiting room.
Please, Doctor, I want to stay with her.
Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work.
Please, Doctor, she has to be okay. I didn't mean to do this. I love her.
Wait a second. You were the driver?
Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, we went to dinner. I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks.
Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great. You want to get out of here?
I can't believe this. Really, Doctor? She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Today, you ate Greek yogurt. You took the train. You wondered why people spend so much time reading celebrity blogs. You read a celebrity blog. You planned a workout. You skipped it. You did all the things that one normally does the day before a devastating earthquake shakes the community to the ground. You never know when the day before is the day before. Prepare for tomorrow at ready.gov/today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change? You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Yes, indeed. This is conservativenationradio.org. You're listening to Radio Free America. Duke Brooks is my name. My phone number is 718-305-7176 if you want to be another one of the inmates in this particular asylum. Very glad that you could be along this evening. I guess the questions about the IRS, now that we have some of their executives on the record and under oath, saying that they didn't know what was going on, it was just a couple of rogue agents in Cincinnati, we really didn't know about this until, you know, all the kind of nonsense that you hear coming from these people in Washington, D.C., but we have now found out that they did know about it. We have now found out that this was deliberately and specifically timed, starting in 2011, apparently, after the Democrats lost control of the House of Representatives in 2010. Apparently, someone in the U.S. government decided that the Tea Party has gotten too big for their britches, and one way to shut them up and shut them down is to not give them tax-exempt status, which has a tendency to give an organization like any organization, a lot more leeway. And I think it also ends their ability to tell potential donors that their donations are tax deductible. Look, I'm not a tax accountant or tax attorney. The way things are with our tax code, our income tax, our progressive income tax in this country, there is no one human being that understands it all. It is so complicated. It is so complex. a person could spend their entire life studying the IRS code from the time they're 14 or 15 until the time they're 75, and they would never be able to comprehend or keep up with all the changes being made to it. There is no way, it can't be justified. It just cannot be justified. We had a in obviously the second article of impeachment that the House Impeachment Committee was drawing up against President Nixon was that he used the IRS for political purposes against Democrats. If I recall correctly, there were three. It was one Democrat donor, a Democrat politician somewhere, I think in California, and one Democrat organization that Richard Nixon had told the IRS to go after. If you have the facts on this, I'm just doing this from memory. If you have the facts on this, call me at 718-305-7176. So apparently three organizations that Nixon wanted the IRS to target. It looks like there were hundreds of Tea Party, conservative groups with the word Constitution or Patriot in their title that were denied their tax-exempt status, that complementary Democrat and liberal groups got with no problem by the IRS. And apparently they began doing this well in advance of 2012's election to make sure that the Tea Parties and the voter turnout effort that they were involved in were suppressed. That is the big problem. There are even liberals that are saying, well, you know what, Duke, you're right. They should not have been allowed to do that. And that's because liberals are beginning now to understand and to realize that if a liberal president can use the IRS to harm conservatives, then a conservative president could use the IRS to harm liberals. And they have finally realized this is just not something that we can do. We simply can't have this. Even Elijah Cummings, that Baltimore congressman, who has been the congressman from that Maryland district in Baltimore City, I think since the War of 1812, even he has realized now that this has to be stopped. The only way that it can be stopped is to put the flat tax or the fair tax. Even the flat tax is not particularly good because, you know, the flat tax, the principle behind it is actually very simple. You pay 10% or 12% of your income, whatever it is, 15%. You don't get any deductions. You don't get any exemptions. You don't get any tax credits. You pay a fixed percentage of your income. That's it. I'm not really sure that that is as good an idea as the fair tax is. The fair tax is very complicated in its actual operation. All right. The theory behind it is pretty simple. The theory is if you work for a company and the company has agreed to pay you $1,000 a week, at the end of every week, for example, if you get a paycheck every week, you get a check from the company for $1,000, not $672 or whatever. All right, that's the theory behind the fair tax. When you go to buy something, there will be about a 32% national federal sales tax. If you buy gas, if you buy a car, if you buy groceries, if you buy a new pair of shoes, baby needs a new pair of shoes, you know, if you buy a kitty at the pet store, that's you pay. You pay a national sales tax. Now, a lot of people will automatically think, wait a minute, sounds like the cost of everything in the country is going to go up by 32%. But for the vast majority of Americans, their income tax is their take home pay is only going to be increased by 15 or 20%. Well, in theory, that is correct, but there are two factors to the fair tax. Number one, the large number of hours, time, effort, energy, everything that is spent by small, medium, and large corporations who of necessity must be involved in a constant effort known as tax strategies, those can go away. They will no longer have to have a tax attorney on their staff. They will no longer have to have tax accountants. They're no longer going to have any of those people. So the cost of operating the company itself will immediately go down. In the case of mom and pop and their convenience store on the corner, the cost of operating that company is not going to go down very much because they're probably doing these things themselves. Maybe they are hiring a CPA firm. They won't have to hire that CPA firm for as many hours. And so the cost of doing business to them is going to be reduced. In the case of General Motors, however, I would bet dollars to donuts General Motors probably has a tax compliance and tax strategy department that probably has 1,000 people on the payroll, probably 200 lawyers, probably 400 accountants, and maybe 400 bookkeepers. Does that add up to 1,000? I think. Am I right about? Listen, I can't do math. I'm like the woman from the IRS in that recorded phone call a couple of weeks ago that a reporter was asking her about tea parties, and he asked some questions about tax rates and things and revenue, and she said, well, I don't do math. Okay, look, I don't work for the IRS. In any event, when a company doesn't have to spend so much time worrying about tax compliance, they don't have to worry about somebody sitting in their office and one day the IRS shows up and says, we're shutting down your company, then you can afford to lower the price at which you sell your goods, products, and services. And you know what? You better lower the price at which you sell your goods, products, and services because the company that is competing with you has lowered theirs. That is why the fair tax is not going to be an extra burden on the pocketbooks of Americans. Beyond that, one of the other features of the fair tax, and I've got to be honest with you, this is the only thing about the fair tax that I'm not entirely sure can work or could be afforded, and that is that every American every month will get a check from the U.S. government. And that check is going to represent something called a prebate as opposed to a rebate. The prebate is going to be a monthly check that, based on the consumer price index and other figures that the government certainly has access to, represents what the government figures each person would be paying each month for the sales tax on food, medicine, some clothing, I think some gasoline if you own a car, things like that nature. So it takes the burden off of people. Basically what it says is you are going to continue to be able to buy food, medicine, the basics, clothing, I think utilities, things like that. And here is the check for the tax that you, the national sales tax that you would pay on those items. So you no longer have your paycheck almost cut in half by taxes on your income, and you are not going to have to pay the sales tax on the basics and necessities of life. It is just about the top of the hour. Going to take a little break. This is Radio Free America. Duke Brooks here. Looking forward to speaking with you again on the other side as we continue our discussion of the triple threat to the White House. Don't go away.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Remember when your neighbor found us naked in the car? And the time some outdoor action got us kicked out of the park? Getting frisky in the dark, I gave your eye a poke. I think the dog is also in the bed. Do I smell smoke? You and me. We never give up, you and me. We never give up, you and me. We never give up, you and me. We never ever give up.
Up on sex. Don't give up on birth control either. There are more methods than you think. Visit Bedsider.org to compare all the choices and put the bogus myths to bed at Bedsider.org.
Boy, we got options tonight.
Brought to you by Bedsider and the Ad Council. Bedsider.org.
My name is Dale Pazinski. I'm 19 years old, and this is how I live United. I've always been kind of a computer geek, and I found a way to use those skills to help the homeless in my community. For people facing hard times, computer skills and a basic resume are so important. It may seem like a small thing, but it makes a huge difference in people's lives. So with United Way, I created a program where I work with the homeless. Together, we go through their whole job history, write a resume, and then save it on the very own USB drive. We provide workbooks and training certificates. I even budgeted for cupcakes so we can celebrate as a class when one of our people gets a job. That's huge. When somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." That's what living United feels like to me. My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Indeed, welcome back. The Electric Light Orchestra there and the Illusions in G Major from the album El Dorado. Duke Brooks here. This is ConservativeNationRadio.org, Radio Free America on the air and coming at you. 718-305-7176 is the number. I think I will mosey on over to the Drudge Report and see what is going on. Let's see. Possible perjury is the caption under a photo of Eric Holder. You know, I just don't get those guys. They absolutely it's pretty unbelievable. Pretty unbelievable. Let's see here. New Jersey inmates collect $23 million in government benefits. Wonderful. Furloughed federal workers can collect unemployment. Well, you know, I can tell you if you work for a regular company and you get a furlough, it might be a week or, you know, 2 weeks or a month, then you're entitled to unemployment. And I suppose it should be the same if you work for the taxpayers. Here's something very interesting. Larry King joins Kremlin-funded TV channel. I thought that he was working for a Kremlin-funded channel when he was at CNN, but I digress. Larry King, and this is from the Weekly Standard, Daniel Halper writes, Larry King will host a new TV show on the Russian network RT. The RT press release reads, award-winning interviewer Larry King will host a mold-breaking political talk show on RT from next month, speaking to both leading establishment figures and those who are not afraid to go against the grain. Quote, I've always been passionate about government and issues that impact the public, and I'm thrilled at the opportunity to talk politics with some of the most influential people in Washington and around the country. I'm not really sure where this is. This a Russian? Is this going to be on cable in Russian or in America, or what's it going to be? I still don't know. Larry King, Larry King is the only journalist I've ever seen interview the president of the United States with a shirt, a necktie, and suspenders, without a coat. When you interview the president of the United States, you should dress somewhat formally. You will notice that the president of the United States dresses formally. Okay, the president of the United States, when he is speaking to the nation or conducting any of his official duties, is expected to wear a suit and tie. The only photograph that I ever saw of Bill Clinton when he was in office and he was not wearing a shirt and tie and at least a sport coat. On Saturdays, I would occasionally see the president wearing a sport coat with a necktie, but I never saw him wearing anything less than that unless he was playing golf or something or out jogging. Except one photograph in 1995 when Captain Scott O'Grady, U.S. Air Force, was shot down by the Bosnian Serbs or the Serbian Bosnians or whoever they were, Herzegovina, who the heck, the former Yugoslavia. And he got shot down, and it took us about 3 days or so to find him, and we got him. The Marines went in, and the Marines got him, and they got him out of there. And right after that happened, there was a picture in Time magazine. Remember that? Showed the president sitting on the Truman balcony in a sports shirt, like a polo shirt, and he was smoking a cigar. And I thought to myself, okay, that is just fine. Of course, that's, exactly why, the president on a day like that, a situation like that, yeah, celebrating, sure. He ought to be, wearing a shirt, just informal. But there's Larry King, and I remember when Larry King interviewed President Clinton in either 92 or 93, and I believe it was on a Sunday night, and there was President Clinton wearing a suit and tie, and there was Larry King in that ridiculous shirt sleeve, necktie, and suspenders getup of his. And I remember watching this. I was in Ocean City, Maryland at the time. I was watching this on CNN because Fox did not yet exist. And towards the end of the interview, President Clinton said something like, Larry, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to cut this short. I do have to go. It's not an emergency or anything, but there actually was a schedule conflict, and that's why I have to go. And he did. The next day, it was revealed that he and Hillary's old friend from Arkansas, Vince Foster, had been found dead in Fort Marcy Park in Washington. And that obviously was the reason why President Clinton had to leave that interview early. At the time I saw it, I thought to myself, he probably has finally realized that Larry King just hasn't gotten the message that you do not interview the President of the United States in shirt sleeves. Get with it, pal. Hey, I guess the Russians are going to get what they deserve. It's about 10 and a half minutes, about 10 minutes after the hour. 718-305-7176 is the number. This is Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. I see California Living is in the chat room. Welcome, sir or ma'am. You're free and complete liberty to call in at 718-305-7176. Drudge Report says that MSNBC's ratings are in collapse. That doesn't really surprise me at all. I don't know why it should really surprise anybody. This is from The Hollywood Reporter. TV ratings. MSNBC falls below headline news in May. Rachel Maddow hits lows. Fox News Channel maintains a handsome lead in primetime and total day, while primetime runner-up CNN continues a healthy climb from the lows of 2002. Headline news networks' wall-to-wall coverage of the Jodi Arias trial has had substantial ratings legs. Surging around the time of the May 8th verdict, the network notched an extremely rare monthly victory. It topped MSNBC in total day and primetime, and with CNN posting its second consecutive month as a distant primetime runner-up to Fox News Channel, MSNBC is in a very precarious fourth place. The rest of it is a bunch of statistics. So, let's not go there. Those guys at those liberal networks, they will be dragged kicking and screaming into making specific and deliberate changes in their editorial policies. That is just not going to happen. They will allow their own doors to be shut before they will realize that the American people just don't want to hear that liberal BS. We just don't want to hear it. Nobody watches the liberal networks anymore. They're all in decline. Liberal newspapers are in decline. They tried the liberal Air America. It did not work. Nobody listened. Nobody listened. And there were the liberals on TV conducting some kind of a half-assed post-mortem, saying, well, it wasn't their liberal message. It was their business model is bad. All right. That's right. I'm sure. Absolutely. You are right. Hey, there are some conservative headbangers out there. A headbanger is a heavy metal listener. And you can ask our own Christopher Manti whether he is or not. He is. I'll tell you right. Spoiler alert. Chris Manti loves heavy metal, everybody. You should, however, listen to Chris every Friday right here on conservativenationradio.org for the Christopher Manti Show at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 Central. He's got a pretty fresh take on conservative thought, modern America, the threat of Sharia, and the weird, wild, wonderful, wacky world of Washington, D.C., and a very, very good dosage of heavy metal rock and roll thrown in for good measure. The Christopher Manti Show, which we probably should have just called Eponymous, is Fridays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 Central on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. You know, Chris has been a friend of mine for quite a long time, over a year now, and he is really a great guy. He was the campaign manager for Kevin Wade. We will be hearing Common Sense with Kevin Wade later on tonight, actually in about 25 minutes or so. 8:40, that's when we do Common Sense with Kevin Wade. But I think, Chris, we've got a lot of great broadcasters here at conservativenationradio.org, and I think Chris is the best-sounding one that we've got. I think he sounds better than I do. I've been on the air for over 40 years, but for some reason, I have never liked listening to myself. I don't like the sound of, And, you know, I know what you're thinking. Yeah, nobody else does either. Well, no, that's not true. That is not true. But in any event, I think Chris has one of the best sounding shows that we've got. I think he himself is the best sounding broadcaster that we have. He's right. You know, he does a great job. So make sure to listen to him Friday at 5 o'clock. Speaking of o'clock, it is about 15 minutes after the hour. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America on the conservativenationradio.org. And we're going to take a brief break. And when we come back on this day in Civil War history, so you stay right where you are.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
It feels like you're frozen, petrified. You're struggling with your mortgage payments. The bills begin to pile up. Not knowing what to do, you do nothing at all. And that's the worst thing you can do. Because if you take action, if you do something about your mortgage problems, you're far more likely to get the most positive outcome. Making Home Affordable is a free government program. Call 888-995-HOPE to talk one-on-one with a housing expert about the options that are right for you. Real help, real answers, right now. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov and do something about your mortgage problems. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Sure, humans can be a little weird at times, but take it from me, I'm a dog. And a person is about the best thing that can happen to a shelter pet. So if you want to learn how you can be that person, get down to your local pet shelter or visit the shelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
ConservativeNationRadio.org. This is Radio Free America. Duke Brooks is my name, and that music, the Ashokan Farewell by Jay Unger. If you are a regular listener to this program, you know exactly what that means. We are in the 150th anniversary of the Civil War. And, you know, the Civil War was a pretty amazing thing. Someone once described the Civil War as a black hole into which historians disappear and they are never again seen or heard from. And I can understand that. There is no way that anyone could possibly know everything. I mean, it is too huge a series of events over a long period of time where literally millions of people were, you can't know everything about it. May 29th was a Friday in 1863. This is from the Civil War Day by Day, an almanac by E.B. Long and Barbara Long. Major General Burnside, in command at Cincinnati, offered his resignation to President Lincoln as a result of the arrest, conviction, and banishment of Vallandigham. That's Clement Vallandigham. I believe he was a congressman that was a member of a group called the Copperheads, I think. I'll get back to you on that. Lincoln, however, refused the resignation. General Oliver P. Morton of Indiana and others had also protested the arrest on grounds that an increased opposition to the war effort in the states on the Ohio River. A skirmish broke out near Mill Springs, Kentucky, scene of a major battle early in 1862. Next week, I'm not going to be able to research. I know the name Clement Vallandigham. I don't want to give you bad information. I probably do more than enough of that already. It is just coming up on 20 minutes after the hour, 718-305-7176. July 1st through the 3rd this year will be the 150th anniversary of the Battle of Gettysburg. As you are aware, the Battle of Gettysburg is the largest military engagement that was ever fought in the Western Hemisphere. And a lot of guys were killed at Gettysburg. I was a Civil War reenactor a long time ago, from around 1991 to about 94 or 95. I had a wonderful time. It was the greatest. Civil War reenactment is one of the best hobbies that you can get involved in. You know, you're outside, as has been observed, camping, marching, shooting, fighting, and nobody gets hurt. What the heck is wrong with that? I mean, there were just wonderful things that happened at Civil War reenactments. You know, some were incredibly funny, some were emotionally moving. There's no question about that. It was an absolutely wonderful hobby. And there were guys very often sitting around the campfire. There were guys who knew every single thing there was to know about the Battle of Sailor's Creek. Another guy sitting, you know, near him had committed the entire history of the 23rd Virginia Volunteer Infantry Regiment, Company H, to memory. I mean, there were guys sitting around there who may not have had the most formal education in the world, but they knew everything about the Civil War. They, you know, there were guys that possessed the equivalents in knowledge on the Civil War to people that have a master's or a PhD in it. It was really just a tremendous learning experience, and it was an awful lot of fun. And sadly, in the summer of 1993, when Ron Maxwell directed the film Gettysburg, which was filmed almost entirely at Gettysburg, I think I was the only reenactor in the country, certainly east of the Mississippi, who was not an extra in the film. Because why? Well, because I had to work on weekends. I had a wonderful job back then. I had a light helicopter, and I had a bunch of radio stations on a network I had put together, and I would fly the helicopter on Friday afternoon, Friday night, Saturday morning, and Sunday afternoon for people coming down to the Ocean City and Delaware beaches to give them traffic reports. And that was absolutely wonderful. But I did not, I didn't go up to Gettysburg to be an extra in the film. Watching that movie Gettysburg by Ron Maxwell, which starred Martin Sheen and Tom Berenger, and Richard Anderson. It was a very well done movie. It was a great movie, as a matter of fact. And the premiere of the film, I think, took place in November of 93, it was November of 1993. When the movie premiered, and the movie premiered in Gettysburg. And all of us in the Baltimore Light Artillery of Maryland, CSA, we were Confederate reenactors, went up to Gettysburg to see the movie premiere. And the theater was packed, and we had gotten up there the day before, and we went to the Lincoln Diner, which is directly across the street in Gettysburg from the movie theater, and directly across the street from the Gettysburg Railroad Station, where President Lincoln arrived in town in November of 1863 to give the Gettysburg Address at the dedication of our country's first national cemetery. And the movie was great. The movie Gettysburg is a great movie. And at the end of the movie, when Ron Maxwell, came onto the stage and spoke with us, I was the guy sitting there yelling, "Author, author," which is something that is done when a well-received play premieres on Broadway on its opening night. You know, the writer of the play will be there, and if the audience really, really likes it, they will begin yelling, author, author, and the writer of the play is expected to come out and take a bow. If I ever see Maxwell again, I will remind him of that. He then, several years later, he put out a second Civil War film, which was intended to be a prequel to the film Gettysburg, and that was called Gods and Generals. And in that one, Robert Duvall played Robert E. Lee. In Gettysburg, Martin Sheen played Robert E. Lee. And Martin Sheen could not be in Gods and Generals. I think that came out in the year 2000 or something. He could not be in Gods and Generals because he was then starring in a program, a weekly show on Wednesdays on the NBC television network that was called The West Wing. I called it The Left Wing. It was a great show. I would not miss the show. It was excellent. Couldn't stand the politics, but I definitely loved the show. Stephen Lang in the prequel played Stonewall Jackson. In the movie Gettysburg, he played General George Pickett. I don't understand that. I mean, if you're a filmmaker, you know, I've got to be honest with you, you really need to pay a little more attention to things like that. The other thing is, in both of those films, well, more Gettysburg than Gods and Generals, the beards that they put on, you know, Martin Sheen and Tom Berenger and Lang, they just didn't look convincing at all. They just weren't. A lot of the acting in those films was very, very good. Not all of it was. There are scenes in it where, you know, I'll be watching The Charge up Little Round Top, and I recognize guys that I reenacted with. There's my buddy Ron Roberts. There was my buddy Kurt Raymert in the scene at the hospital about midway through the movie. Kurt was a great guy. He was one of my reenactor buddies in my unit, Baltimore Light Artillery. And sadly, Kurt had lost his leg in a motorcycle accident at some point in like 88 or 89 or something. And so the call went out that they needed amputees, and Kurt was not only a reenactor, but he was also a guy with a leg, you know, I think it was his right leg that was missing as a result of a motorcycle accident. However, he was in the film. Sadly, Kurt is no longer with us, and that, you know, that's just a bad thing, but anyway, it's about 27 minutes after the hour. 718-305-7176 is the number here. We are coming up on the anniversary of the Battle of Gettysburg. It's going to be, you know, I can guarantee you that hotel rooms in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania have been booked solid for the last week in June and the first week in July for probably the last 3 to 5 years, you know, no question about that. And that's, you know, that's fine. I've been to Gettysburg many, many times. I've probably been there, oh, I don't know, 15 times, something like that. The thing that I love about Gettysburg, in addition to the fact that it is steeped in American history, and in my view, it is just overrun with glory, the entire place. What I really love about it is that you can go to Gettysburg any time of year, any day, any night, rain or shine, no matter, and you can wear your Civil War uniform and nobody will say a word to you. That's just what Gettysburg is all about. You can wear your Civil War. You know, I mean, you're not going to walk around on the streets with a 36 caliber Navy cold brass frame pistol. You're not going to carry around your 57 caliber Enfield musketoon or your Zouave rifle or anything like that. But even still, you can wear your, and nobody will say a word. It is a wonderful place, absolutely wonderful. I haven't been there since I think the summer of 2004. I really, you know, Linda and I want to go back up there. She's been there. I've been there. Linda has a little bit of a tough time walking because of her left knee, but, you know, that is something that we definitely do want to do. It is the bottom of the hour. You know, the leftist media, in addition, I'm sorry, I've got them on my mind. Those of us here at conservativenationradio.org are very proud, and we are, to be associated with a company that offers the most effective identity security and credit monitoring service that there is, and that, as you know by now, is LifeLock. LifeLock is an awful lot more than just your regular run-of-the-mill credit monitoring service. Oh, no. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member services 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There really is nothing that comes close to LifeLock. So to protect your identity with LifeLock, go to our homepage, conservativenationradio.org, and click on the LifeLock banner. That is conservativenationradio.org, and click on the LifeLock banner. The network does not cover all transactions, and the scope may vary. Going to take a break, and more of your calls are coming up straight ahead, so don't go away.
Are you tired of your hard-earned money going to support liberal and progressive enterprises? I know I am. That's why I shop at thethirdlantern.com. This conservative marketplace ensures that your money is well spent and supports conservative entrepreneurs dedicated to making their products here in America. Look, I'm a business owner. I know how hard it can be to get your product out there. Get on his vendors list, and it will help your sales. I have had his barbecue sauce. It is amazing. Check out the website, thethirdlantern.com. That's the number 3, RD, lantern.com. Send your liberal friends there and tell them Higgin Resch sent you. TheThirdLantern.com. Put your money where your ideology is.
A boy born in Joplin, Missouri, was fascinated by anything with wheels and a motor. The odds of him going on to fascinate millions with his talent? 1 in 260,000. The odds of this born racer having 157 career top 10 finishes in NASCAR? 1 in 125 billion. But every driver seeks the pinnacle of their achievements. The odds of him winning both the Daytona 500 and the Brickyard 400 in the same year? 1 in 195 million. The odds of a child being diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I'm NASCAR driver Jamie McMurray, and my niece has autism. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Welcome back. This is Radio Free America. This is conservativenationradio.org. This is Duke Brooks, and 718-305-7176 is the number here. It's about 33 minutes after the hour. We're in the home stretch now. Thank you very much for being along. I'm waiting for one of our friendly local chat room denizens named Catgirl to call in and talk about the movie Lincoln. She mentioned in the chat room, asked one of the other folks in there what they thought about the movie Lincoln. Catgirl, call me and let's talk about the movie Lincoln. I saw the movie. I have some thoughts about it, and I would definitely love to hear yours at 718-305-7176. That is the number here at Radio Free America. Gettysburg, a wonderful place. You know, here's something from Drudge. This is a developing story, apparently. This is something that is going on right now. This is from WCBS TV Channel 2 in New York. Two letters addressed to Mayor Bloomberg are found to contain ricin. Ricin, as you know, is a very seriously deadly poison. They are saying threatening letters addressed to Mayor Michael Bloomberg in both New York and Washington, D.C. have been found preliminarily to contain ricin, according to police. The anonymous threats to Bloomberg were opened in New York City on Friday and by the director of the group Mayors Against Illegal Guns, of which Bloomberg is co-chairman, on Sunday. Preliminary tests on both letters concluded that they contained the deadly toxin ricin, people said. You know, Bloomberg is such a horse's rear end in real life, and as a leader and as mayor of New York, I think that the guy is, listen, I was born and raised in New York City, and frankly, I'm entitled to have an opinion about the management of my hometown. And I think Bloomberg is a loser. Instead of sending him an envelope with ricin in it, they should have simply sent him a gift certificate for a 32-ounce big gulp of soda from 7-Eleven. That would have gotten him even more angry than ricin. And, you know, look, violence, threats, assassination, all those sort of things have absolutely no place in the American political system. I mean, get real, will you? You know, I wasn't watching when President Kennedy was assassinated, but I was about 8.5 years old when that happened, and I remember it very, very clearly. It was it was ridiculous. In this country, you don't do that kind of thing. Every once in a while, I hear some idiot say, oh, yeah, Obama ought to get a bull. You know what? No, he should not. Now, he might be impeached, and after 2014, if there are enough Republicans in the Senate, he might be convicted and thrown out of office. But assassination or violence or even the threat thereof has absolutely no place in the political dialogue, the political process in this country. Absolutely none. It's ridiculous. It's the most absurd thing I've ever heard in my life. Sending letters with a deadly poison to a guy like Michael Bloomberg, it's unreal. Absolutely ridiculous. Whoever that person is, they'll find him. They'll find him. Well, let's put it this way. I hope that they find the right guy, because it seems very clear to me that our government now really doesn't care if they convict somebody who is innocent. As long as they can convict somebody, they're happy. 37 minutes after the hour, 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America. Very glad that you're along this evening. Tomorrow night, of course, we will be on conservativenationradio.org. We will be offering you Carl Higbee and Guy Reschenfaller with The Sound of Freedom with Hig and Resch. Guy Reschenfaller, the former Navy JAG attorney, he won election about 8 days ago in Pennsylvania as a magistrate judge in Pittsburgh. As Cary Grant has said, Pittsburgh, I've never even been in Pittsburgh. I never have either. I'd like to go. Maybe one day I will, and Linda and I will go out there to visit with Judge Reschenfaller. I guess that's what we have to call him now. We can't really go up to him and say, yo, Guy, what's up, man? You know, because now he's a judge. But Guy is an extremely nice guy. Obviously smart. I mean, the fact of the matter is you don't get through law school and be a member of the U.S. Navy Judge Advocate General's Corps without being pretty darn bright. So on top of that, he's a very, very nice guy. So you've got to listen up tomorrow. U.S. meat processor in $4.7 billion sale to the Chinese. This is from Bloomberg News. Shuangwei agrees to acquire Smithfield Foods for $4.72 billion. Well, Shuangwei International, you know, I'm sorry. I can't keep a straight face anymore when I read some of these Chinese names. The Long Dong screwdriver company announced it. I mean, it's unbelievable. Whoever this company is, Shuangwei International Holdings Limited, China's biggest pork producer, agreed to acquire Smithfield Foods for about $4.7 billion to boost supplies for the nation that's the biggest consumer of the meat. China is the biggest consumer of pork in the world. Well, I'm not surprised. There's about 1.4 billion people in China. Closely held Shuangwei, parent of Hainan Shuangwei Investment and Development Company, will pay $34 a share for the Smithfield, Virginia-based producer. Both companies said today in a statement the offer is 31% more than yesterday's closing share price. Well, no wonder Smithfield went up today. China's consumption of pork is rising with the expansion of its middle class, while there are questions being asked about the safety of the country's food supply. Smithfield's livestock unit is the world's largest hog producer, bringing about 15.8 million of the animals to market a year, according to the company's website. It owns 460 farms and has contracts with 2,100 others across 12 U.S. states. Well, you know, I got to be honest with you. I have been eating and using and enjoying Smithfield products for a very long time. If they are owned by a company that is of a country that is our and mine and your enemy, I don't think I'll be buying their products anymore. Listen, when John Kerry's wife still owned Heinz products were never seen inside this build. They were never seen inside my home. Now that they no longer own it, now we're back to using it. You can vote with your wallet. 17 and a half minutes now in front of the top of the hour, and that means that it is time for, it's always time for Common Sense. And specifically, it's time for Common Sense with Kevin Wade.
Huge economic problems loom on our horizon. The U.S. now owes over $16 trillion, and if it's not fixed, our nation will be ruined. Career politicians in Washington are focused on one thing, re-election. That's a big part of the problem. They avoid the needed tough decisions that risk their momentary popularity. Congressmen and senators, in office for decades, use taxation and spending to reward their friends and punish their enemies. Special interests fund the re-elections in return for a share in the plunder. These career legislators don't work in the best interests of the American people. A thought on how to correct this serious problem after this.
You're so annoying.
You're so annoying.
Stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop talking to me.
Kids will spend 10 minutes copying everything their sibling says.
You're such a doofus.
You're such a doofus.
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes, twice a day. Say at the time.
Mom!
A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ad Council.
Lifelong legislators are not what the founding fathers had in mind. The problems we now face were caused by these untouchable machine politicians, and they see no reason to solve the problems as long as they get reelected. We can limit their terms with a constitutional amendment and let regular Americans solve the problems. That's just common sense. I'm Kevin Wade.
All right. Thank you, Kevin. That is a feature that we have all come to know and love here at Radio Free America. And I must say, it is the most well-written radio feature I think that I have ever heard. Kevin is about the greatest guy I've ever met, and absolutely love that guy. What a great guy he is. I want to have him on the air. Maybe next week we'll have Kevin Wade on the air. As you're aware by now, since you've been paying attention to this sort of thing, those crazy left-wing loons in the media would be very happy if conservatives like you and I thought that somehow we're just a couple of lonely voices out there in the wilderness, but that's not the case. Americans who identify themselves as conservative outnumber those who identify themselves as liberal by 2-1. Even in polls that are conducted by liberals like Brookings and the New York Times, CNN, and all that kind of stuff. Now, if, like me, you respect traditional American values, there is a place for you to call home on the Internet. It's traditionalamericanmovement.com, or TRADAM, as we around here at the massive office building owned by CNR calls it. TraditionalAmericanMovement.com is the place where real conservatives can meet up with no turf wars, please, thank you, and find out what's new in the conservative community. So join up, find out what's happening, and be a part of the conservative revolution, all on TraditionalAmericanMovement.com. That's www.TraditionalAmericanMovement.com. I do hope to see you there very soon. TRADAM, fortunately, is a liberal-free website. You know, we don't kick them out, but they know not to come there. You know, I mean, obviously, listen, I've got, I think, close to 600 Facebook friends. Some of them are liberals. Some of them are liberals that I've known for many, many, many years. And one is this very, very nice Jewish lady that I went to college with, who is from Massapequa, Long Island, and she and her liberal friends get together on her page, and they will say things like, anybody that didn't vote for Obama is a racist, all these problems are George Bush's fault, Richard Nixon was the worst human being that ever lived, every Republican is a murdering, butchering baby. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that they talk about. And whenever I would go on her page and engage in one of those dialogues, all of her friends would pounce on me, you know, 2, 4, 6, 8, how many innocent people do you plan to hate? You know, that kind of nonsense. And eventually she wrote me a message saying, would you mind not coming onto our page? It wasn't even, would you mind not coming onto our page? It was, Duke, please don't come onto my page. The liberals, they talk about freedom of speech and freedom of the press, but trust me, they don't want it. About 12 minutes now until the top of the hour. More of your calls and some closing thoughts coming up. Don't go away.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
Dave, what are you doing?
Just sending a gift to Dave 2037.
Who?
Me in the future. I save a little money from every paycheck as a gift to Dave 2037, so he can spend it on things like anti-gravity boots or a hologram Doberman, something cool like that. I think Dave 2037 deserves it. He worked hard. What are you getting Steve 2037?
I guess I was thinking Steve 2037 would just fend for himself.
Well, all right, but don't expect to be borrowing my anti-gravity boots.
You want to have money in your future? You got to start saving now. Putting some money from every paycheck into a savings account or contributing to your 401k can make a big difference later. Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's feedthepig.org.
Hey, let's just hope Steve 2037 doesn't get his hands on a cool time machine, because he is going to come back here and knock some sense into you.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
All right, class. Let's hear what everyone did this weekend.
Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock and saw all of these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him at the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Wow.
Where were you, Jill?
Yeah.
We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
If you love America, you're among friends here. You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back. And if you love America, you are among friends here. If you don't love America, my question is, what are you doing in America? Even though we're on the internet and we're all over the place, the whole world, anybody with an electric plug and a computer and some speakers and, you know, an internet connection can listen, and that's fine. That's what freedom of the press and freedom of speech is all about, and I'm in favor of it. About 9 minutes now before the top of the hour. At the beginning of the show, I put out the cryptic statement that I did not know in advance that my friend John Sigler is resigning from chairmanship of the Delaware Republican Party. And that's true. I did not know. I was kind of surprised this morning when Steve Grossman called me to tell me about that. Steve Grossman was the campaign manager for a guy named Jeff Craig, who ran for governor of Delaware last year. And, you know, Delaware is a one-party state. That's all there is to it. The Democrats' voter registration in Delaware is roughly 2-1 over Republicans. Not in my county. In my county, it's 1-1. And even still, all but five elected officials in Sussex County, Delaware, are Republicans. The other five are Democrats. So there are quite a few conservative Democrats in Sussex County that I'm presuming don't like the fact that their party nominates people that are really kind of radically left-wing. And I can understand that. I don't vote for Democrats. I do not advocate for any of them. I do not agree with or care for or like any position that any of them take in any public issue or any public policy at all. They, as far as I'm concerned, they're from Mars. Anyway, Jeff Craig is a guy who's about 51, 52 years old. I think Jeff is about 6'5", maybe 6'5.5". Absolutely great guy, tremendous sense of humor, and Jeff has a really tremendous in-depth understanding of the political process. He certainly understood that in a state like Delaware, a Republican, quite a few things are going to have to happen before a Republican can become governor of Delaware. And I had now there's a person who is preparing to run for governor of Delaware, and she was my guest last week. Her name is Lacey Lafferty, and right now, she has as good a chance as anybody else of being the next governor of Delaware. But anyway, Jeff is right now the front runner for the position of being the next chairman of the Delaware State Republican Party, since John Sigler resigned effective this morning. This was really a blindside for a lot of us. Nobody expected this. John worked very, very hard to get reelected at our convention last month. He's a great guy. I like him, but he's got something going on, I guess, in his personal business that he just feels he cannot devote the time necessary to the party to serve it well. So there are a couple of people who are front runners, and if you're not from Delaware, this probably is not going to mean an awful lot to you. But if you pay attention to politics at all, you may find it interesting, because every state has its own political party. Every state except Minnesota has its own Democrat Party committee. Minnesota has its own political party that is called Democratic Farm and Labor Party, and they are really left-wing up there. They are, those guys up in Minnesota are just seriously, they really hate this country. But I digress. But in any event, there are a couple of people who are whose names keep coming up for being the next chairman of the Delaware State Republican Party. And one of them is Jeff Craig, who I mentioned. He's a businessman from Wilmington and ran for governor last year. We were hoping he would do a little better than he did, but, that's the electorate. What are you going to do? The other one is a lady named Ellen Burroughs, who is a great gal, and she has a very successful business that it's extremely technical. Ellen's business writes technical documentation for drug companies that are seeking to get their medications patented and approved by their national governments in America, the UK, even China, all this kind of stuff. Ellen is an extremely staunch pro-life advocate. There is absolutely no question that being pro-life is central to Ellen's identity. And Ellen is also the Republican National Committee National Committee Woman from Delaware. Each state sends two people to the Republican National Committee, a committeeman and a committee woman. And Ellen is ours, and I'm very proud and honored to be her friend. The other name that comes up from time to time, and I discussed with a couple of people today, is our mutual friend Kevin Wade, who you heard about 12 minutes ago, delivering some common sense. If Kevin has enough time in his schedule of running his business, Philadelphia Control Systems, and you hear us talk about Philadelphia Control Systems here on conservativenationradio.org quite a bit, then I think Kevin would make an absolutely formidable chairman of the Delaware State Republican Party. So those that I will bet you dollars to donuts at some point by the end of July, the next chairman of the Delaware State Republican Party is going to be either Craig or Ellen or Jeff. I am very honored that all three of them are friends of mine. Anyway, about a minute, a little over a minute before we have to end this edition of Radio Free America on conservativenationradio.org. Any closing thoughts? The number is 718-305-7176. I wonder what kind of news is going to be greeting me when I tune in Fox shortly after we go off the air. I mean, it seems now once every 2 hours or so, there is another development in the triple scandals that are enveloping the Obama administration. I am very hopeful that voters in Delaware and across the country will come to the same conclusion that I have reached, which is that Democrats can simply not be trusted to operate our federal government or to have any kind of meaningful leadership role in our country. That's the way I feel about it, and I do look forward to speaking to you again next week. Have a good week, all. Bye-bye.